With us on the show, Diana Lefus, a playwright, a journalist, and she's here to talk mainly about a new play that's opening this week in Woodstock, and also about an upcoming movie and some other things. So let me ask you first, tell us a little bit about the play that's opening this week.
I would be delighted to. First of all, I'd like to say thank you very much for allowing us, allowing me to come here and to discuss my my projects. Thank you. Now, the play coming up is in Woodstock. It will be at the Mountain View Studio, 20 Mountain View in Woodstock. And, it'll be Saturday at 4 p.m. and Sunday at 3 p.m. It runs an hour and 10 minutes, and there are no intermissions. And it's called Petals from the Wild Rose Tree. And it really deals with, it's taken from a poem, actually, Petals from the Wild Rose Tree, taken from a poem called Memory, written by one of Mark Twain's friends. The most important things in life are not the things we really are taught in school, the dates of wars, deaths of kings, that sort of thing. What happens when you suffer a horrible illness and you're on the brink of death, and you've come back from that? What suddenly becomes the most important thing? Is it small town politics? Is it the latest fashion? Is it the latest thing Joan Rivers said? Or is it something far deeper and more spiritual? It's the meaning of life, and this is what the play deals with.
And so it's a pretty serious play then.
It's a very serious play. We're handing out free Kleenexes for everybody as they leave, and tickets for three free sessions at their psychiatrist of their choice. Because it's really going to dig up a lot. We've had readings of it, very successful readings in Beacon and in Kingston and in Newburgh, and people have come not to shake my hand at the end of the play, but to hold it and tell me how much the play meant to them. And they began to tell their own life stories. So I think, you know, it's sort of cathartic.
Well, it sounds cathartic, and it sounds like it would bring out in people the things that are most important in life.
Absolutely. Life is short.
It's a one-act play?
It's a two-act play, but no intermissions. It's very short. I mean, as plays go.
Uh-huh. And does it have a rating, like you shouldn't bring children to it or anything like that?
You know, there's nothing off color, no swearing. Children should be happy. Life is just unfolding for them. Mm-hmm. So most children don't have to suffer through deathly illness, and then such as cancer, and then come back. And most kids need to be happy. So this is really for adults who have seen a more difficult side of life.
Okay.
We all have questions. We all need answers. But these questions, even Socrates had encouraged his pupils to ask. These are age-old questions.
Now, I don't mean to put you on the spot, and you don't
you
have
will.
To answer this. But was this play inspired by events in your own life?
This actually was inspired by somebody both Green and Columbia know or knew very well, and his name was Robert Mitchell. He was a journalist for the Register Star in Hudson.
Okay.
And, we were friends, and he passed away from cancer several years ago. And one morning, I woke up, and I realized, I hadn't heard from him in a long time. I'm going to give him a call and yell at him. And it wasn't until I went all the way across the room, picked up the phone, and began to dial that I realized, oh, that's right. That's why he hasn't called. I had forgotten just for that moment. So I thought, well, let me take it to the extreme. What would happen if somebody you really cared about, and he was just a very dear friend, but somebody, say somebody who had a wife or a husband who passed away, and people want to say things to them that they hadn't had a chance to when they were alive. It's kind of also, the idea also came from John Lennon's aunt, who only after John Lennon passed away did his aunt then make a series of tapes explaining her side of the story, that she really did love him. She didn't mean to be so harsh. But this is sort of, what people do. It's a grieving process. But, of course, in this particular instance, the man had only been sick. He comes back, and so he and his friend begin to really talk about the depth of life.
So the play has a sort of epiphany for this man who's confronted death so close.
Absolutely.
And that's not unheard of. I used to work for hospice, and we saw that happen.
That's right.
And among the events of life that change a person, that's the primary one. You would see that at any funeral that you attended from the family's point of
view. That's right.
There's an old
song, "Cherish what is dear to you while it's near to you. Don't wait till it's gone."
Very good. Yes. It's just from you describing it, it sounds like a play that I'd like to see.
You're more than welcome.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned the Register Star, and you worked with Mr. Mitchell there.
Mm-hmm.
You also worked with, I think, our station manager.
Yes, I did. Lynn.
Lynn.
Mm-hmm.
And you're a journalist as well as a playwright.
I was a journalist for years. I finally put that aside. I'm just devoting my life now to scripts.
Mm-hmm.
I feel that the truth can get out there on the stage in a way that I think is more honest than we're allowed to be usually in print.
Okay. Now, you're also working on an upcoming movie.
Yes, indeed, called Knockout, The Life of Customato, and people in Catskill are well aware of who he is.
Oh, they'll recognize that name. Now,
that's right.
Just tell us if there are listeners out there who don't know who Customato is.
Well, for those who don't know, Customato was the gentleman who was the trainer for both Floyd Patterson and Mike Tyson. And his gym is with us today still, the very gym he founded on top of the police station here in Catskill on Main
Street.
It's
right down the street here.
Just down the street, yeah. Right.
And it's still being used quite actively.
With the same equipment.
Mm-hmm. This movie is scheduled to come out when?
Well, I would give it a 2014. Right now we're in pre-production.
Okay.
So there is a lot that has to go on. And with movies as well as with theater or anything in the arts, you have upstarts and then you have stops and you have gaps and you have, you know, rushes and that sort of thing. So we'll be, how shall we say, optimistic.
Okay.
And say 2014, maybe earlier.
Now this is something different for you because you're used to working with the theater mostly, right?
Indeed. But someone had suggested that this would make a really great movie. And so with the help of some people who, you know, kindly gave me their, shall we say, blunt criticism.
Okay.
I've managed with their help, and believe me, I very much appreciated what they said. And it really did make me smarter as a writer. And I've been able to mold the script into what I felt would be something very fast-paced, very honest, but also have a warmth to it, a human warmth to it.
So this is now a screenplay you're writing.
It's a screenplay. It's done.
Uh-huh.
And it's about how Cuss really focuses on how Cuss basically faced off the mob, which people really don't know. Mm-hmm. In the 1950s, when he was handling Floyd Patterson, the mob had sewn up Madison Square Garden, the Chicago Stadium, and all those places. And he basically squared them off because they were in violation of the Sherman Antitrust Act.
Uh-huh.
But no one was doing anything about it because the mob really controlled everything. But that one little man, he just took them all down. And the court found in his favor. And that helped clean up boxing a little bit before it went back to the war.
Has his story been told before?
That particular story has never been dramatized, to my knowledge.
Okay.
I'm very pleased to be able to do it. Now, he did help, I have to say. A shout-out to Kevin Rooney, because it was his idea. He said, you know, Diana, people have written about me, about Mike. No one's ever said anything about Customato. What are you going to do about it, huh? So I said, well, that was 4 years ago. And I sat down with him. We had a lot of discussions. He had a great, he lived there with Cuss for, you know, a while.
Uh-huh.
And he had a lot of insight to Cuss's motives and how he operated. So it was really very invaluable. And so we created this wonderful story, which I think honors the memory of Cuss, and I think it will make Catskill very proud.
And you found a film company who was willing
yes,
to...
I had quite a few film companies.
Really?
At the bit. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. And, and what film company did you end up with?
Actually, I can't give out their name
at
this moment.
That's all right. I'm sorry.
But you will find out in a couple of weeks.
All right.
Yeah. They're from Rhode Island.
Something to look forward to in the next couple of years. Now, you have a London connection, too, I noticed, and some of your plays have opened in London. Would you talk a little bit about that?
Well, I had a play based on the life of John Keats, which I had worked many years on. We opened up actually in Albany first, and then we premiered in Albany. Then we moved it to Off-Broadway, and then from there it got picked up for London.
Okay.
And we were very happy to have Peter O'Toole's son Lorcan play as Lord Byron, and he made a very striking Lord Byron, I must say.
Now, Lord Byron had a very interesting relationship with Keats, didn't he?
Yeah. Keats is my man. Yeah, Lord Byron had a lot of issues. He certainly did.
They were best friends
for
a while?
No. They basically, Keats adored Byron. Byron couldn't stand Keats.
Okay.
But Shelley was kind of the glue that held the both together.
Okay.
This sounds
like a very interesting play. Is it playing anywhere now? Or?
Not at the moment. It does run about 3 hours.
Okay.
But if anyone wants to act in it, just, you know, call the station and I'd be willing to run up and we'll be able to have that play up and running.
Well, now there's an offer. Do we have any actors out there who would be interesting in playing these historic characters, Keats, Shelley, and Byron? That must appeal to some budding actresses somewhere, and actors, I mean.
Yeah.
Now, this year, you were involved with the first African-American theater festival in the Hudson Valley. That took place at the Woodstock Community Center, and you did a piece on the story of Frederick Douglass. Could you say a little bit about that?
You sure did your homework. Yes, we did. I'm very lucky because Michael Monasterio, who actually headed this particular production company, invited me. He had something on about Cosby. Mm-hmm. Is Cosby dead?
Yes.
He's a very funny and very poignant writer. He writes musicals, songs and dance, and he just packs the houses. Anyway, I was very blessed in that he extended an invitation for me to bring Frederick Douglass, my play, which it wasn't a musical per se, but we had a lot of the old spirituals from back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had it on, yeah.
And it went well? It was appreciated?
It was appreciated. We certainly, you know, I have to say, I didn't have for my play as many people as I would have liked, but that's just the nature of theater. But his play at the end, boy, he burst the seams in the house. He was really good.
This was the first time a festival like this was held in the Hudson Valley?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
Well, I'm just wondering if people can look forward to something like this again next year.
I hope so, because, see, the Frederick Douglass play, it talked about slavery back in the South in the 16th, 17th, 1800s, but it also reminded people that slavery continues today, and anyone who buys Hershey's chocolates, Reese's Pieces, peanut butter cups, or anything by Nestle's, you're helping keep slaves enslaved, because they purchase their cocoa beans from plantations in the Ivory Coast that actively use child slave labor. Mm-hmm. And Hershey's and Nestle's know this, but they do it anyway because it's cheaper, and we help fund this slavery by buying all these articles of food.
I think we found out a similar thing about Nike some time ago.
Yeah.
That they use children labor in Indonesia
it's
and so
awful.
Forth. Yeah.
And this is not, I mean, they're stolen from their families or sold, but they got absolutely no money whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And if they run away, they get their legs broken. I mean, it's slavery. And we still have it running today.
Yes, we do. Well, give again the times and place of your upcoming play this weekend.
Okay. The place will be, Petals from the Wild Rose Tree, will be at the Mountain View Studio in Woodstock, New York, 20 Mountain View. It's actually, when you get to the Village Green, just behind the White Church, that's where it is.
Okay.
And it will run on Saturday at 4 p.m. and on Sunday at 3 p.m. Tickets are $10 at the door. And a note for the management, you must take your shoes off.
Okay. That's easy to find. It's a short play, and there's lots to do in Woodstock. So
That's right.
Thank you very much for coming on the radio and telling us about your play and the upcoming movie. And we hope to have you on the radio again.
I'd be delighted. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate all of you.
Thank you.